Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today,
Pastor Chuck continues with the true and living God as we pick up in Mark chapter 12, verse 29.
And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
I also rejected all of these new religions that are coming out in recent years. These men who finally have received the true revelation of God. It's been hid from all men up until now, until we're blessed by this prophet who has now the true understanding of God, and it brings us this new light and a new way. And I rejected all that because that immediately then dismisses all of those people that have been born and died up to the present time. It says God doesn't care about them or wasn't interested in them, but suddenly God is now interested in man. I couldn't buy that. It had to be a revelation of God that began early in the history of man and was maintained to the present day. And that's why I chose the three that I did. But as I studied, the more I studied, the more I became convinced that the Bible was indeed the revelation of God. And today I have no question, no qualms, no doubts that it is indeed the revelation of God to man. And it stands separate, apart, distinct, and in many cases in opposition to the religious systems of man. For the religious systems are man's attempt to reach out to God, where Christianity is God's attempt to reach man. In the religious system, man being good enough to be accepted by God. In Christianity, there's no way man can be good enough to be accepted by God. He has to just trust in the grace of God. There's no good work that you can do. It is not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by His grace alone. So rather than a system of works that can bring you to God, it bypasses all that and says there's nothing you can do to be worthy of God. You can only receive His grace, His love, His mercy that He extends to you through His Son, Jesus Christ. God is reaching you. You can't reach Him. And of course, as I read the Bible, I became fascinated with that prophetic aspect of the Bible, which the Bible itself declares is the built-in proof of its origin, that the Bible originates with God, that you might know that I am God and there is none other like me. I'm going to tell you things before they happen so that when they happen, you will know that I am indeed the Lord. Jesus said, I've told you these things before they come to pass, so that when they come to pass, you might believe. And so that prophetic element that we can even up until the present time read and know that God has spoken of the very days in which we now exist and has prophesied in advance things that we see in the world around us. The fact of the nation of Israel, whether or not the Arabs want to recognize it, they are there. God's word said they would be there. The 10-nation European Federation. The movement that you read about all the time towards electronic funds transfers. And you're seeing the systems inaugurated in the stores. When you go to these stores that are now using these scanning cash registers, God said, I've told you in advance so that you might believe. And so that built-in proof system. The most important thing for any man is to discover the true and the living God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. It's important that you know who God is. Secondly, you must come into a loving relationship with Him. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, the deepest area of your life, with all your soul, that conscious area of your life, with the mind, and with all thy strength. Love God supremely. God must become the center of your existence, the center of your life. And all men's lives revolve around some axis. There is that center to every man's life, and it is important that you look into yourself and find out what is the center of your life. Upon what does your life revolve? What is the axis upon which your life is revolving? And with most people, it is self. For most people are living self-centered lives. But the Bible assures you that the self-centered life is destined for emptiness and frustration. And the book of Ecclesiastes gives you a classic example of Solomon, who lived the self-centered life, did everything for himself, and ended up with that plaintive cry, vanity, vanity, or emptiness, emptiness, everything is empty and frustrating. He did it all. He had it all. But because it was centered around himself, it was unfulfilling, and he ended as a bitter cynic, as does that person who lives for himself. When you get to the end of the road, you say it wasn't worth it. Life is a mistake, tragic mistake. It's a farce. There's no meaning. There's no purpose. I began as an accident. I go out as an accident. And there's no reason. Oh, how empty, how futile. That's because you've got yourself at the center of your life. You need to get God at the center of your being. And that's what Jesus is saying is the most important. That's primary. Get God at the center of your life and come into a loving relationship with him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Now, the second commandment in order, in priority, similar to the first, it's love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot do this unless God is at the center of your life. You see, he's striking at that self-centered life because now, instead of loving yourself supremely, you've got to love your neighbor as you love yourself. You can't do that unless you love God supremely. And it's only as you love God supremely that you can fulfill the second, loving your neighbor as yourself. But in this is all the law and the prophets. This sums up the whole Old Testament. It's what it's all about. A loving relationship with God, that you might have a meaningful relationship with your fellow man. God at the vertical axis of your life, in order that the horizontal plane might be in balance. Now, people get all messed up in this horizontal plane. Their interpersonal relationships are just messed up completely. And so you go to a shrink and you try to understand yourself, and why do I react, and why do I respond, and why do I yell, and why do I scream, and why do I drive people away, and why do I act in such an antisocial way and all. And he tries to delve into your psyche and all, and to tell you, you know, now if you'll just do this and that and take a little Valium and all, and it won't make any difference, you know. And so he's trying to help you to balance out these interpersonal relationships out on the horizontal plane. And so no sooner do you get one into focus and you sort of balance it, then the whole thing, you begin to go overboard, and the other side is way up, and, ooh, wait a minute, get up on the other side, you know, and jump up there so that I can balance this thing out. And so you see people spending their lives, you know, trying to keep things in balance, and it's always just sort of topsy-turvy. Well, you got to come to the center axis, man. It's out of kilter. Your relationship with God is just way off. And if your axis is tilted, then the horizontal plane spinning around that axis is going to be just in the crazy, you know, whirl, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And then you say, oh, God, stop this thing. I went off. First thing, get right with God. Know God. Love God. The second, then, will fall into order, loving thy neighbor as thyself. Now, this fellow was intrigued with the answer. He thought, all right, I'll buy that. And he repeated it just to confirm it in his mind. And he said, Master, that's good. You've told the truth. For there is only one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all of the heart and with all of the understanding and the soul and the strength, and to love the neighbor as yourself, is more important than all of the burnt offerings or sacrifices that you could ever give. And Jesus, when he saw that it was sinking in, and he answered discreetly, said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far from the kingdom of God, because the moment God comes at the center of your life, you are in the kingdom of God. That's what the kingdom of God is about. It's having the king on the throne. The moment you bow and submit your life to God, as king, as the Lord of your life, then you're in the kingdom of God, you see. But no man can serve two masters. No man can have two kings. And if you are sitting on the throne of your life, if you're living a self-centered life, then you're not in the kingdom of God, and you can't be in the kingdom of God as long as you're living a self-centered life. It's not until you're living a God-centered life that you've really entered into the kingdom. And this fellow was beginning to see the picture, and Jesus said, hey, you're not far from the kingdom. Get God at the center of your life, and you've come into the kingdom of God. After that, they just didn't dare ask him any more questions. And so Jesus, while he was still there in the temple, said to the scribes, how is it that you scribes say that the Messiah is the son of David? Now, this, of course, was something that was taught, that the Messiah will be the son of David, because there were many predictions in the Old Testament. He will sit upon the throne of David. He'll be the root out of the stem of Jesse and so forth. And God promised to David, you know, I will build you a house. And by this, David understood that the Messiah was to come through his seed. And so how is it that you say that the Messiah is the son of David, when David himself, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus here recognizing the Holy Spirit as the one who inspired the writing of David. David, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in Psalm 110 said, the Lord, or Jehovah, Yahweh, said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David, therefore, himself called him Lord. From whence then is he his son? In that patriarch society, the father always ruled. As long as the old man was alive, he ruled. His word was law. Even when his sons were 80, 90 years old, if he was still alive, his word was the law. And in that culture, there is no way that a father would call his son Lord. That would be a total antithesis to the culture and society itself. And so how is it that if the Messiah is the son of David, how is it that David called him Lord through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? How can he be his son? Now, the common people heard him gladly, and he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in their long robes, and they love the salutations in the marketplaces. Oh, rabbi, rabbi, doctor, doctor. They love the chief seats in the synagogue and the uppermost rooms in the feast. And yet these scoundrels devour widows' houses. They take advantage of the little old women on Social Security with their letters that they write of the desperate need that God has for their Social Security check this month, or God is going to be broke and God's business is going to fail unless they sacrifice. I've got a stack of letters in there that you can't believe the junk that these men write. I know that there's got to be a hot spot. Seven times hotter. For a pretense, they make these long prayers. And hey, all right, Jesus said it. They're going to receive the hotter spot. Free translation. They shall receive the greater damnation. Go to it, Lord. It's hard for me to express how I feel about those who would take advantage of people for religious purposes or under a religious guise. I really had no intention when I was a young man of being a minister. I had very set ideas. I was always sort of a goal-oriented person. And I knew from the time I was in junior high school that I was going to be a neurosurgeon. And I had studied all about the brain from the time as a kid. I'd check out all of the books from the library and read about the brain, fascinated with the human brain. And I just knew I was going to be a neurosurgeon, taking all the courses to prepare me for that profession. And I had a big thing against most of the ministers that I knew. I didn't feel that they were true, honest, normal people. I saw a lot of hypocrisy, and it troubled me. And that's one of the reasons why I never wanted to go into the ministry. But when the Lord began to speak to my heart concerning the ministry, I said, oh, no way, you know. Don't be one of those guys. I'm too normal, Lord. You know, I don't like to wear ties. I don't like to dress up in suits all the time. I love sports. And the Lord said, who asked you to wear a tie all the time? Who said you can't enjoy sports? Who said you can't be normal? You'll find me a very normal person. I don't try and create some, you know, illusion that I'm super spiritual or better, or God help us. But then this thing of this gimmickry on money, this is the thing that really bothered me thoroughly. And I said, Lord, I could never ask people for money. And the Lord assured me that he would be my supply, that he'd take care of my needs. And so this is a thing of the ministry that I just, it galls me, this the many, many gimmicks that are used for raising funds or for extracting or extorting money out of people. Let's go on. Jesus went over and watched them give by the treasury. And he was beholding how the people cast the money into the treasury, and how many that were rich cast in their large gifts. Now, Jesus had earlier, you know, sort of come against this. He said, you know, when you give, don't be like the Pharisees who, you know, like to sound a trumpet before them and make a big display over what they're giving to God. He said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Just give to the Father in secret. He'll reward you. Don't look for the reward of man, the awes and the oohs. So he watched these rich people casting in these large amounts with great ostentation. But there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. I have some mites at home, and I wanted to bring them tonight, and it was my intention to bring them to show you a mite. You can buy 100 of them for a penny over in Israel. They're worth about 1/100th of a cent. This little gal threw in two of them. And Jesus called his disciples to him, and he said to them, I'm going to tell you the truth about this little woman. This poor widow has cast in more than all of those which are casting their money there into the treasury. For they all gave from their abundance, but she, out of her need, did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. God doesn't measure your gifts by the amount, never, but by what it cost you. By that measure, God always measures what we give to him. What did it cost me to give? David said, I will not give to the Lord that which cost me nothing. Paul the apostle, talking to the church of Corinth, suggested that we examine ourselves. He said, "For if we will judge ourselves, then we will not be judged of God." As you look at yourself tonight, as you examine your heart, can you honestly say that your heart, your life, is centered in God? That He is the center of your existence? That your life is revolving around Him? If not, then you're far from the kingdom. And you are heading down a road that can only bring despair, emptiness, and frustration. I would encourage you to discover the true and the living God. Make Him the center of your affections. Love Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And you'll find out how God intended man to live. Rich, fulfilled, as you walk with Him.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Mark on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Mark 12 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord cause His Word to be established in each of your hearts and lives. And may you grow in grace and in knowledge of Him. And may He, with His cords of loving kindness, just draw you unto Himself, that you may ever experience a richer, fuller, deeper comprehension of that love that God has for you, His child. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Have you ever had a friend who's not a believer and they ask you a question about the Bible and you're thrilled? Finally, they want to know about God, but then you go blank because you can't remember the scripture that would answer their very question? You're not alone. It happens to me all the time, and I think, if only I had a quick scripture reference that would help me right then and there, that would be perfect. Well, guess what I found? Pastor Chuck's Old and New Testament study guides are available to download as ebooks instantly to your phone or mobile device. Now, whenever you need to find the meaning to a scripture reference quickly, you can. Pastor Chuck has written great little Bible commentaries to help anyone come to a better understanding of God's Word. To find out more and to read a book preview, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link to download the Old and New Testament study guides by Chuck Smith. Or if you would like to order these books in print, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673.